used to sit up there until I lost his teeth.
Used to do what?
I said, I used to sit up there and then you lost your teeth.
Oh, now you don't do it anymore.
She don't want them to.
Gee, thank you. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about preservation. Everybody likes to talk about self-preservation, but that's not what we're going to talk about, because self-preservation is not going to do you any good one of these days. So what we're going to talk about is how well are we at preserving the Word of God. We learned a little bit this morning in Sunday school class. That's part of our responsibility, is to preserve the Word of God, meaning pass that down to those around us. So, as believers now, the Lord hath preserved His Word within our heart. And we'll get to that verse. I think that might have been the one that Roger mentioned Thursday night about, Thy Word hath I hid in my heart, what? That I might not sin against God. So every generation has the opportunity. So this is why we preserve the Word of God, because God wants every generation to have this opportunity to hear the Word. And once we hear the Word, then we have the opportunity to apply it to our lives, meaning salvation. We accept that, and we accept that saving grace of Jesus Christ through His Word, and then we share it. We have that opportunity and now even the ability to share it with others. So God, down through the ages, this is how He's done this. Those who love Him, those who are obedient to Him, God has used those people, us now, to preserve and to pass on that Word of God. So, and y'all understand what this is talking about, because everybody tells stories of generations past, don't you? Oh, my old grandma, you see, she taught me this. And so we all pass those stories down. Well, God wants us to pass these stories down. These stories about redemption. These stories about saving grace. These stories about our eternal hope or our eternal life with Him. So God's laid it all out. He gave us this guideline. There's nothing else that we'll ever need. He's given us this guideline, and He's given us this so we might be able to live a life that is holy and completely devoted unto Him. Nothing else, just to Him. You know, if we're holy and completely devoted unto God, everything else will fall into place. But we don't always understand that, because we think we have to make things happen. As we look through the Word of God, He gives us a lot of instructions how to live for Him. But man has also, they make up their own instructions. So I'm going to give you three reasons here real quick before we start into the Scripture. Three reasons why we're not preserving the Word of God. Let's see if any or all of these fit us. So the first one is we're just not really interested in doing it. Amen? That's what it boils down to. If we're not doing the Word of God, we're not living by the Word of God, if we're not passing the Word of God down, it's just because we have no interest in it. And I'll say this, even as believers, why sometimes do we not have no interest in passing the Word of God along to those around us? The second one is we're looking in all the wrong places to find out what the Word of God actually... So we might have wisdom, we might have knowledge, but no understanding. And we're looking everywhere in the world to understand God's Word. And I can tell you, you're not going to find it. The only place you're going to find understanding of God's Word is through God Himself. Now, the third reason is that we don't pass it down, and this probably gets most people and gets all of us, is that we think in our life spiritually, and just to boil it down and make it simple, we think spiritually in our life we don't need God's Word. We think we can live, and the reason that we think this is because God's word is going to tell us the truth about the things going on in our life. And I want to live my life, what? The way I want to live it. So why am I going to preserve something that's not going to let me live my life the way I want to live it? So that would be probably the third reason that gets a lot of people today. I would pass that down. Well, I'll pass this verse down. I can live by this verse. But now this one, I'm not going to pass that one down because I can't live by that. That's just something I can't abide by in my life. So we're living in this age and in this time where there's a lot of things going on out there in the world today. A lot of pridefulness, a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, a lot of here's how you should be living your life for God. If man's telling you how to live your life for God, it's probably wrong. God has to tell you how to live your life for Him. So this Word of God that we all possess, about said profess, we should be professing it too. This Word of God that we all possess, God intended for us to have this. It's the inspired word. He intended for us to have this so that we might preserve specifically His saving grace, His redemption, the redeeming blood of Christ, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, because He wants all of humanity to have that. He wants all of humanity to accept that. He wants all of humanity to live by that. And this is why He wants us to preserve His Word within us. So let's go to the 119th Psalm. We're just going to read a few verses out of the 119th Psalm. And we're going to start with verse 92. The 119th Psalm, verse 92. And we're going to start looking at some scriptures here real quickly. I'll just go through and pick a few out and see what exactly is my part in preserving the Word of God. Because we all have a different part in doing this. But we're going to start in Psalm. And when David wrote this, the 119th Psalm, if you've never read it or studied it, you need to. It's got a lot in it, but it's got a lot that God wants us to get out of it. So starting with verse 92, here's what he said. Unless thy law had been my delight. Okay, so here, this falls under one of those three categories that I just gave you. If it's not exciting to you, if it's not a joy to you, if it's not delightful to you, you're not going to pass it down. And David said, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my own afflictions. Meaning, if I didn't find something in there that caught my eye, so to speak, if I didn't find something in there the way the Holy Spirit was showing me to bring my obedience into His realm, then he said, I would have just perished in my own afflictions because I understand that without the Word of God, I am nothing. It has to be through the Word of God. And he said, because of this, then in verse 93, he said, I'll never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. So when you read and study the Word of God, do you get excited? Huh? You should get excited about it. And the more you read and study it, the more you want to read and study it. So this is what David is saying. He said, I'll not forget them because it quickened my soul. He said, I am thine, save me, for I have sought after thy precepts, or I have sought after the Word of God. I'm obedience to your Word. He said, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I'll not look at the wickedness of the world. I'll pay attention to the Word. The Word which you have given me. And he said, I have seen an end of all perfection. And when you look around at the world today, do you say that? Oh, I've seen an end of perfection in the world today. That's why God doesn't want us focusing on the world around us. He said, but thy commandment or thy word is exceedingly broad. It covers it all. Okay? The Word of God. Anything that you see going on out there in the world today, the Word of God covers it all. There's nothing going on that you cannot find understanding through the Word of God. So, He's provided us this to what? To teach us. God wants to teach us. We're supposed to be helping teach others as well. God wants to teach us. He wants to give us guidance. Daily in our life, God wants to guide us. He wants to direct our every action, everything that we do. God wants to be in control of that in our life, so that everything that we do, we're doing that is right and pleasing unto Him. That it is right and pleasing in His sight. So He wants us to build our foundation upon His Word. Now, all the time that we're talking about this, you understand that this Word is Christ Himself, that we're building upon that solid rock. That's our foundation, is Christ Himself. So His intention is, He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to grow in spiritual maturity. He wants everything that we do to be a reflection of Him, of Christ. And he wants us to use His Word in such a way that we're bringing out the character of His Son. When His Son walked upon this earth, we're becoming now Christ-like. So this Word that we have, it's a reflection of God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, because it is His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's a reflection of that. And we learn to put our trust in its purpose, in the purpose of the Word of God. We learn to put our trust in this plan that we have of the Word of God, so that, and it's given not for just me or for you, but it's given for all of humanity. So that means that the Word of God is sufficient enough for us to live our life by. Amen? That's how God wants us to live in our life. It equips us to every good work. So let's look down through a few verses. Let's start in Deuteronomy. Let's go back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2. And let's see something that all they had was the law back then. So we have a lot more for us today, living in this grace dispensation period. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, here's what he says. You shall not add unto this word, okay, which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it or take away from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So what's he telling us here? First of all, he's telling us that this is complete. We don't have to make anything else up to go along with it, even though a lot of times we do, because we sometimes use the word to distinguish the things that we're doing, to approve the things that we're doing. But it's complete. And if it's complete, it's efficient. And if it's sufficient, then it's efficient. Okay? We don't need anything else. It requires our absolute obedience. Just what we got requires our absolute obedience. So that means it's perfect. There's no way we can change it to make it any better. So that means we have to put our complete trust in what we read, what we study, what we understand. We put our complete trust in it. It's the only wisdom and knowledge that we need, because it's the wisdom and knowledge of the mercy and grace of God. That's what we need to live our life. And what it does, He gives it to us to bring us into a closer relationship with Him. So when we start picking and choosing as we go through the Word, how we're going to live our life, our relationship with God's not getting any stronger. It's not getting any closer. So we've been instructed, man has been instructed from the very beginning, that we're to remember the works of God. And that's what this Word is. It's the works of God through Christ Jesus Himself. We're to remember it exactly how He gave it to us. We're not supposed to embellish. You know, your fish that you caught that was this long, now it's this long, okay? Or the deer that you shot was this big, but now it's this big. So you understand where I'm at? We're not supposed to do that. We take the Word of God as it is, and we're willing to do that. We're excited to do that, and we're willing to be obedient to whatever it is He's given us in His Word. Do not, he said, neither do not add and do not take away from what I have given to you through my word. In 2 Timothy, let's go there real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start with verse 14. But continue thou, listen to this, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Okay, and he didn't just say the things that you learn, but when you learned them, so if you weren't assured, he said, which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So if you learn, so there's a difference between memorizing and learning to be assured of. Okay? You might be one of these people that can just quote scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. It doesn't do you no good if you're not living by it. It doesn't do you no good if you don't understand it. And that's probably why you're not living by it, is because you don't understand it. So he says, continue in the things that you've learned, the things that you're assured of. So what am I assured of in my life? One thing that I know I am assured of is my saving grace and my eternal hope of going one day to be with the Lord. So I'm assured of that. So I know I can profess that. So I've learned that in my life. So he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And these Holy Scriptures, he said, they are able to, now listen to what he said, they're able, they don't always do it because whose fault is that? That's my own. But they are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I think this was mentioned in Sunday school class this morning. There's a lot of people out in the world today that recognize God, but that just because it's able to make me wise doesn't mean that I accepted it into my life. He said it's able to do this in their, but the choice is mine to follow after that. So he said all scripture. So he's giving you a little rundown of what the scripture does in our life. All scripture is given. First of all, it's given by inspiration of God. Not man had nothing to do with it. Now, man was inspired. The Holy Spirit gave him the words to write down. That's all man had to do with it. It was given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine or salvation, for reproof or sanctification, for correction or spiritual growth, for instruction in righteousness. And we've known that. We've talked about this many, many times. But here's what he says that it does for us. That the man of God might be perfect. Okay? Now, we're not talking about a perfection that you're going to get one of these days when you become immortal. But we're talking about the perfection that God wants us to have while we're here upon this earth. He said we're perfect because we're thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay? Now, we might not always accept that in our life, but he said I've given you everything that you need for this perfection. And for you to have good works, I've given it to you. It's all right here. Now it's up to us. So this word now, it restores us. We talked about reconciliation. We talked about restoration in Sunday school class this morning. This word restores us back into the righteousness of Christ. That's what it does for us. So the more we're restored into that righteousness, the more that we learn to turn to Him, the more that we understand the instruction that He has given unto us, the more that we're going to grow in His holiness. The more that we're going to glorify God, the more we're going to succeed in our walk of faith. And the more that we succeed in our walk of faith, the more we avoid the hazards that we have to walk through while we're here upon this earth. Now, some of us who think we're brave enough, we just say, oh, we just walk through them. How does that work out for you? Anybody want to? Not very well, that's right. So God doesn't want us to have to walk through them. He would rather we avoided them altogether. But when we choose not to avoid them, then He'll help us walk through them. If we'll follow after and be obedient to His word. So let's back up again to the 119th Psalm. I want to read verse 89. We started with 92. Let's just back up to verse 89. So here's what David understood. He said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where?
In heaven."
In heaven. That's right. It came from God. It came through Christ from God. It came by the Holy Spirit. So he said it's forever settled in heaven. I mean, it's eternal. It has always been. It was in eternity past to eternity future. It's everlasting. It's unchanging. And through it, we can find security. And I'm talking about spiritual security. And if we can find spiritual security through our relationship with God, then we're going to find that divine inner peace that God wants us to live in while we're down here upon this earth. Because all of this is what gives us our hope in Jesus Christ. So when all these things that are happening around us are taking place, God wants us to see these things as opportunities to show others what His divine inner peace is all about. Because many people out there in the world, through the trials, the tribulations, everything that is going on, cannot find that inner peace. And it's up to us to help show people the way to that in their life. So in Matthew chapter 24, let's go there and read a verse real quick. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My word shall never pass." Okay, so what's he mean by that? One of the things he means by that is, for all of those who have accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the word is where? It's right here. It'll never, it can't be taken away. It'll never pass. He said, "I'll take everything materialistic away, but my word will still stand." Why? Because I have people that have preserved it for me. Isn't it exciting to be part of those who preserve the word of God? It would be, the more we would preserve it, the more exciting it would become in our life. Amen. This is why I get excited when we're going to have Bible study. I get excited when we're going to have Sunday school, because what we're doing is we're learning and preserving the word of God. And that's what we need in our life. So that means we're trusting in God's word, that we know that the things of this world aren't going to last forever. Those things are temporary, but we are assured through God's word that our salvation in Christ is what? It's secure. You're saved. Your salvation is secure, and we know the things around us won't last, but we have an eternal perspective in our life. We're not looking at the world around us. We're not looking at man's promises that fail all the time. We're looking at the teachings that will forever remain active in our life, because we've chosen that to be a part of our life. 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 10 through 15. And we read 10 in Sunday school class. But he's talking about the day of the Lord. And it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein." So here we're talking about when we're talking about the day of the Lord here. So here, I don't want you to get confused. That this is not, okay, this is not the rapture of the church. Okay? Not the rapture of the church. So when he's talking about the day of the Lord here, he's starting out, he's talking about two different things. Here, the day of the Lord that he's talking about is talking about the tribulation period. Now, the church is going to be gone. We're not going to be here. No, you hear people daily preach that we're going to be here through the tribulation. I'm not going to be, okay, I'll just give you me personally, I'm not going to be here. If you want to stay and see what it's all about, that's a choice that you make. I would hope that you don't make that choice. But me personally, I'm not going to be here. But during the tribulation period, it says that day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So how do we, because we talk about other places in the Bible about the rapture of the church will be like a thief in the night. But here it's talking about the tribulation period. So when the church is raptured out, and we would want everybody to go, but we know according to God's word, everybody's not going to go. So when the church is raptured out, what do you think all the people that are left here are thinking?
They took all the bad people.
Yeah, we got rid of them. We're glad they're gone.
Yeah.
So their mind, when the church goes out, what went with it? The conviction of the Holy Spirit. So you're no longer convicted now of those things that you shouldn't be doing in your life. So we got rid of them. I don't care where they went. Aliens came and got them. Whatever. They're gone. So now, but Christ says the reason that it's going to be as a thief in the night is because now we're not expecting anything, those who are left. So it's going to be a rude awakening. The tribulation period is going to be a rude awakening. And then as you go on down through this verse, then now he's talking about through the tribulation period, through the 1,000-year reign, and what's going to happen at the end. All of those works, the things that are not pleasing unto God, those things are all going to be done away with, burned up. So he said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. So he's asking you this question. Now we know this now. Seeing that we know this is going to happen, we can't deny it. As a believer, we can't deny it. He says, what kind of person should you be? How well are you preserving my word? What kind of person ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? We should be explaining this to people. We should be telling them what's going to take place. He said we should be looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, we're talking about what we're looking forward to. A new heaven and a new earth. If this doesn't give you the urgency in your life to talk to somebody about salvation, to warn somebody, to bring this awareness that is needed, then I don't know what will. Because He's given us a glimpse of the consequences, the things that are going to take place to those who still live within a sinful state. So He wants us to understand the importance of our life in preserving the Word of God, the importance of our life in showing others what the saving grace is all about. And he wants us to be able to explain to people what's happening. The things that are happening around us are only temporary, and the only way to escape them is by accepting something permanent in our life. And that is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So let's go back into the 12th chapter, or the 12th Psalm. I'm sorry, the 12th Psalm. Verse 6 and 7, here's what he said. The words of the Lord are pure words. Did you get that? Huh? And it's sad because you see people every day twisting the truth of God's word and making them perform to a worldly manner. And why would we do that? Because God says, my words are pure words. He said they're words that are tried in a furnace, purified seven times. So he says, you should keep them. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forward. So all of this, these false teachers, these deceptive words, these suggestions, there's just a lot of straight out lies within the body of Christ today. And all they're doing is dividing. They're not conquering, they're dividing. They're splitting churches apart. They're splitting people apart. So God's word is pure. God's word is conquers. It doesn't divide. So if there's confusion, if there's division, then it's something you want to pray about but not be a part of. Because God wants us to be victorious through his word. His word is a demonstration of his mercy and his grace. And that's exactly how we should be using it, as a demonstration of God's mercy and his grace toward mankind, because God desires everyone to repent and come to the knowledge of their salvation. This is what God desires from us. Let's go back to Matthew one more time. Matthew chapter 5. Let's start with 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. If you remember, Christ himself said, I came to fulfill the law. And he did fulfill the law. So he said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Okay? So, For those people out there that says, well, this has already been fulfilled, we don't have to pay attention to it, there's no truth to that. Because it's not all been completely fulfilled. Christ did fulfill a lot of the law when he died upon the cross, but there are many more aspects of the law that is yet to be fulfilled. So we should still, you know, we don't go to church where they only have the New Testament, excluding Revelation. What kind of a person would we be? We have the whole word, the entirety, the law, under grace, the things that are going to happen, because Christ came to fulfill it all on our behalf, on mankind's behalf. And we yet to have see some of it fulfilled. But we will. We will get to see that fulfillment. So, but the part that we want to focus on is what he did fulfill, he fulfilled so that it might remove sin and death. So we don't have to be separated from the Father. So that we can communicate with God through that righteousness. So that we can become a part of the body of Christ. Paul said, it's not I that live, but it's who? It is Christ that lives in me. We should be able to say that as believers. That should be something that we should be able to stand up every day and say, it's not me, it's Christ in me. And that's what we want people to see, is Christ in me. So how did we get all of this? We talked about it for a moment, but let's go to 2 Peter. And I'm just going to show you real quick where this all came from. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse, 19. Here's what it said. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that man didn't, a light bulb just didn't come on one day. A man wrote this down. I mean, they do today, and they put it in their own Bible. We've got so many Bibles out there today, a lot of people are confused which one to study. But he said, no private interpretation. And listen to what he says here. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but what? Holy men of God, all right, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Spirit. What does that tell you? This, we would not have this divine word if God, through His Spirit, had not encouraged man to put it in words that we could read. Only by the Holy Spirit do we have what God wants us to have. And this word that He has given to us, they are the words of God concerning the actions of God, not of man. Now, there's things in here where he gives us different stories and demonstrations of how He used man to do things. But these are the actual actions of God. This is why we're not supposed to add to it. And we're not supposed to take away from it, because they're the actions of God. And through these actions, God will always accomplish what He, you got that? What He has set out to do. So everything that you read, if it hasn't taken place yet, and it's in there, it's going to take place. Because He said, I'll accomplish everything that I put in there. And these Spirit-inspired words of God was given so that we might be saved. Redemption. We talked about this morning in Sunday school class. It's all about, before man was ever created, God put in place a plan of redemption. Because He wants the man that He created to be saved. He wants us to live one day eternally by Him. And who does God choose to be saved?
Everybody.
He doesn't want one person to have to endure the condemnation and the punishment of hell. So this word, through this word, God chooses all mankind to be saved. And He chooses us not just to be saved, but to embrace it. So there's where we go wrong a lot of times. We're saved. We've never embraced our salvation. We've never sat down and become excited about the things that God is showing us through His word. And this is what God wants for us in our life. And the reason we don't embrace it and the reason we don't become excited about it is because Satan is out there shoving too many other things in our pathway that we're getting excited about. Oh, I'm excited. I get to go to the beach next week. I'm not really going to the beach. I don't like the beach. You ought to be saying, I'm excited, I get to go to church next week. The beach sounds better, doesn't it? So, see, we're not embracing it. And the reason that God wants us to embrace it is He wants this to shine forth from us. This inspired word that we gained our salvation through, that we are preserved within, and now we are preserving it for Him. He wants us to be excited about it because this word, this inspired word that we have, is Christ Himself. The one that says, for God so loved the world, He what? Gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day once again. Thank you, Lord, for your divine, inspired word. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the responsibility through opportunity to preserve your word for you, Heavenly Father. And we pray that as servants of you, Lord, that each and every moment of our life, that's what we do. Lord, that we use it to show others what your saving grace is truly all about. Lord, we know your desire is that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of your word. And Lord, we know that it's our responsibility to hold forth that desire in our lives, that we might see people come to know you, Heavenly Father. So we pray as we go forth from this place today, Lord, that we would hide your word in our hearts. Lord, that we would use it as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that, Lord, it would become the greatest testimony that we have, and that is that of redemption, of your saving grace, Heavenly Father, and what that saving grace is truly all about. So we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk in your pathways, Lord, that you would help us to do those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto thee, that we would always follow after the leadership and the guidance of your Holy Spirit so that others might see your good works coming forth through us. We ask that you would forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, that you would help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Bible study this week will be here, and we're working on the Holy Spirit. So we didn't get far last week, but we had a lot of good questions.
It was a good study.
Yeah, so we're going to continue on that because there's a lot to learn concerning the Holy Spirit. So try to make it come out. Next Sunday, Pastor Lou will be here. Okay, I'll be over at Big Isaac. And Lord willing, I told the ones at Bible study to pray about this. We're praying about starting, and I know everybody can't make it, but everybody can't make it on Thursday night either, but we're going to do what we can to bring Bible study to people. But we're praying about doing a luncheon study once a week, maybe on Tuesdays, where we'll, and it won't be nothing big. I'll give you a candy bar and a bag of chips, a bottle of water, okay? And it's not going to be a set study. What I want you to do is, and we won't get to everybody's questions, so don't, if you have a question that doesn't get answered, don't feel bad. But we want questions, and we're going to learn how to answer those questions through the Word of God. So everybody's going to get to participate. So we want you to bring some question that you might have about the Word of God, and we're going to work on that. That's what this is going to entail. So, and we're going to wait till school starts to start it. So we'll let you know. We'll give you a couple weeks' notice before we actually start it. But so I want you to pray about it. And this is something that we're praying about doing. Okay. Anybody else? Everybody's excited about that bag of chips, aren't you? Maybe a piece of bubble gum. Yeah, you might get a piece of bubble gum. Okay, so let's stand and praise the Lord three times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.